So, is everybody exhausted now? After a day of playing in the snow? Having fun and all that? Oh, yeah. So my job is to help keep you awake here for a few minutes, right? Woohoo! So, yeah, we had a lot of fun today. There's been so many cool things going on. And tonight we're going to talk some more about gifts. Now, last night you all got a gift. One person, Asher, got a special gift. But or the rest of you all got a gift too, if you came up and got one from me. And did you see that there is a coin in there? I am going to talk about that at the very end tonight. Don't swallow the coin. But that is part of the lesson tonight. We're going to be talking about gifts again. And tonight, though, as we talked about yesterday, we talked about how, you know, in the last lesson, how God gives us a special gift called salvation. And that's why we just got done singing beautiful Christmas songs. I don't know how y'all are. I love Christmas songs. I have some members of my family. They don't care for Christmas songs. One of my son-in-laws could care less about Christmas songs. He said to me recently, I don't even want to ever sing Christmas songs. I love Christmas songs. And the part of the thing is, because I guess this is partially true for some people, they sing Christmas songs without thinking about the words. Well, you could do that with any song. I love the Christmas songs because the message in them is so cool. And, you know, they're just beautiful songs. And proclaiming, you know, about Jesus coming so that we can have this special gift of salvation. I mean, ooh, yes, yeah, that's cool. That's exciting. And that was our message last night. That's what we talked about, the special gift we got from God on that. Now, tonight we're going to do something a little different. We're going to be talking about another gift that God gives. You know that God gives us more than one gift? Yeah, I'm glad that somebody's alive over there. Yes, God gives us more than one gift. He gives everybody the gift of salvation who wants it, but we also can get other gifts from God. And He gives some people one more gift. He gives some people a couple more gifts. We're going to talk about those tonight. So in this lesson, we're going to explore not only some of these gifts that God gives us, but I'm going to name some, but more importantly, what do we do with them? Now, some might be thinking that, well, I'm just talking to the kids. These sessions are just for the kids. Au contraire. I like that. It makes me sound French. Those of you who know my brother Jacques or Francois. Au contraire. That's not exactly correct. This is a lesson for all of us. If you can understand what I'm talking about, you could be a small child. You could be 82 years old. It doesn't matter. This is for all of us. So listen carefully as we look at these gifts and stuff and what we can do with them. Now, each person who accepts God's free gift of salvation, that we talked about last night, is also given one more, at least one more free gift from Him to use. And a lot of people, a lot of adults in particular, sort of just sit around. They've got salvation, and some teens do the same thing. They get salvation, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I've got my ticket to heaven. I've got my ticket to ride to heaven. Seems like there's an old 60s song in there somewhere. I've got my ticket to ride anyway. But I got my ticket to go to heaven. I don't really feel like I have to do anything else, or I don't, I'm just not going to do anything else. Oh, no, you're missing part of life. The wonderful things about using the gifts that God gives. And that's what we're going to talk about here. God gives us gifts. Now, let me prove it to you using His Word. Just don't take my word. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's take a look at the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? Well, in a couple of books, I'm going to point out to you. Now, these books are written to Christians. These are written to Christians. So this is telling Christians. And it says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, but each has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. See, there's gifts that are given. We move down and you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Looking at God's Word translation, it says this: each one, as a good manager of God's different gifts, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. And there's another verse. If we take a look at 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, don't neglect the gift which you receive. It's talking about the gift we get from God. Don't just set it aside and think, oh, I don't have to use it. I don't want to use it. I'm just going to, I'm going to heaven. That's good enough. Oh, that is a sad person. That is so sad when that kind of thing happens. These verses inform us and tell us that God, that each Christian from God has been given other gifts. And like I say, now some of these we call spiritual gifts. Others are not spiritual gifts, but they are gifts and talents that God puts in us. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. Very quickly, we need to find out what the gift is that God has given us and then use it. And one way of helping with this, and even, and I'm talking from like mostly high school here and up for just this one little comment, high school age through adult, sometimes if you don't know what your gift is from God, that's where you go to your pastor or to the leaders, elders of your church, because part of their responsibility, according to Scripture, is to help people in the church find out what these gifts are, and then to utilize them in the church to build the church up and get the church more activated and help out of what the word is called edify the church that way. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. So you need to find out what the gifts are. Now, the Bible gives us some great examples. Notice up here, I have some presents again. I love presents. And so I have some fun presents. Now, what we're going to play here, I can see the first one here. This present here is addressed to David. To David. So we're going to play a little game here. You guys can help with this. This is a present that is addressed to David, has to David right on here. And this is going to talk about a gift that God gave David that David then used. There's a bunch of different gifts here. These are all biblical people, all biblical characters. So we're going to take a look at some of the examples because we use the Bible to learn, and the Bible teaches us examples. So sometimes the pictures I'll have up here will give you a hint at what gift is in this box. And in this case, like David was given a special gift from God that he used for God. Can you figure out what it is? A harp? Music. Yes, singing and stuff like that. So if we open this gift and pull out music. Music. This is a tremendous gift of being able to praise God and to worship God. And if playing an instrument, I don't know how many of you in here can play an instrument or how many of you can sing songs. We just had a great example of this. The gals and the guy who was just up here singing and stuff, yeah, I didn't forget you. but Christine and Emily and the kids up here doing this is phenomenal. This is great because they've identified a gift and they're using it for God. How many of you, I double dog dare you, think about this, how many of you have a gift of music and you're not doing anything with it? Rhetorical question. You don't answer those out loud. But that's what we have here, and that's what we're talking about. So that's our first one. Has God given you the ability to play an instrument? I wish I could. I have tried. I tried organ. That didn't work. I tried piano. Should have gave up after the organ. Piano didn't work either. This hand was always going one measure ahead of this one. I don't know why. Music teacher just said, it's hopeless. tried guitar. That didn't work. My wife plays guitar. I can't do that. She uses her guitar often in a lot of aspects here, children's ministry and stuff. It's because she's got that gift and she does it. The only thing I've ever been able to learn to play, some of you adults might understand what this is, tissue on a comb. Do you know what that is? Yeah, it's a cheap kazoo. If you can't afford an ordinary kazoo, you just take the tissue paper out of a shoebox, wrap it over a comb, and you just bzzz in it, and you can actually, it sounds like a kazoo. I can play that. It's hard to sing, though, at the same time. So, but anyway, that's our first gift. Let's go to the second one. Now, this one is Moses. Moses. Moses was given a gift from God also, and let's take a look. What do you think from what you know about Moses, maybe the picture too, what do you think Moses' gift is from God? Oh, boy, you guys got it. Leadership. He was a phenomenal leader. God even put him and raised him in the court of and family of Pharaoh, tremendously gifted at leadership. And he led the Israelites for 40 years, did a phenomenal job at that. Yeah, that's a great one. Our next one is Paul. Paul, here's his gift. What do you think God's gift to Paul was that Paul used for him? Yeah, education and writing. Very good. Yay! We're getting excited. Good. I know somebody's alive. Don't have to do autopsies on people. So education, Paul was one of the most educated people of his day. Also, he wrote most of the New Testament. Writing, maybe some of you write books and stuff like this, or write poetry, or you just write for fun of it. Actually, if you don't know, I've written a couple of books too. They actually sell them in a canteen, a little commercial. Two books on biblical archaeology that help prove that the Bible, these things all happen, showing through archaeological evidence these things happen. Writing, what a great skill. If you have that, use that. Find a way to do it. Writing Sunday school material. I got an email today from a family who hasn't been here to Fort in many, many, many years. But they sent me a thing and they said, we're going off on a vacation type thing. Would you please write a devotional for each day for us? That's the first time I ever got a request like that. So, yeah, I've got something to do now. I got other things to do too. Let's go to another one. Here is... Now, this one's tricky. You're not going to probably get this one too much from the picture. Does anybody know what Jeremiah? He was a prophet, but he did something else. I mean, there's a lot of prophets too, but he did something spectacular in his time. Even as a boy, you start reading his book, and it says this, that he was going to be speaking to kings, the power of speech, the gift of speech. Some people are scared stiff to stand in front of a group of people and talk. Other people, it comes very natural, and they have no problem with it. My wife standing here would just melt. Me, on the other hand, this is what I've done as a career. I'm not here. I was in the classroom for over 25 years. I'm used to being in front of people. But speaking, speech and stuff. I remember when I was in high school, back when the earth was cooling, we did classes called speech class. And in my speech class in high school, every single speech except for two, I did that whole course in speech was somehow biblical related. They all probably would have voted me most likely to be a pastor or something. But I remember doing all that kind of stuff. Even when you have, remember in speech class, those who've been there, you have to sell something. I was a Bible salesman at one point. Yeah, let's sell Bibles. You know. So speaking, that's a great one too. And let's go to the next one. John. Yes, they were disciples, but what gift did they get that was really special? Fishing. Yeah, fishing for the Lord. Boy, now there'd be a career a lot of guys would go for. something else. There's more than one answer for a lot of these. Yes, evangelism. You know what they did? They were the apostles that went out. So they did missions. That was their calling. So they started doing missions and mission work. Some of them wrote books, but not all of them did. James was killed pretty quick off. But yeah, they did missions. They told people about Jesus. And that was their thing when Jesus went back up into heaven. Now, here's an interesting one. This one might be tough, especially for the kids. Maybe some of the adults might struggle with this one too. This one is Mary Magdalene. Now, let me just explain to you for a second. Magdalene is not her last name. She's called Mary, that's her name, but Magdalene means that she came from the city of Magdala, which was recently discovered just in the last decade in Israel. I remember almost 10 years ago on a trip I took to Israel on the western side of the Sea of Galilee and walking along the side in this just grassy field. It was just, that's all it was a grassy field. Nothing there, nothing sticking up out of the ground. It was just a grassy field right by the Sea of Galilee walking along. And then the next year I came, there was a construction project. They were going to build a hotel on this grassy spot. Well, they had started building the hotel. They dug down into the ground, and as they started digging in the ground, they hit a floor, a mosaic floor that had, you know, little mosaics. They found that they were actually digging, and they hit an ancient synagogue. And then they started realizing, because the synagogues and stuff like this, they had names, they found the city of Magdala. And they've been excavating it ever since. Jonathan, you went on a trip this year. Did you go to Magdala? Yeah, I thought so. I know we had it on the itinerary. So Magdala, that's where Mary was from. That would be like the same thing as saying, my wife, Denise, of McNaughton. A McNaughton-lean or something, I guess. Or saying, you know, Sharon of West Bend. Or saying Claire of, you know, Oconomowoc. The thing is, because her name was attached to where she lived, that means she was probably well-known and wealthy there. That's why she would have that title. So what would her gift be, being wealthy and well-known to the because of her status there? What do you think her gift was? Does anybody now know? Support. She, if you read scriptures carefully, the Gospels, you'll find out that she helped support Jesus and the disciples. First century, the early church writers talked about this also. She gave money and helped them. So being able to be in a financial situation to support a ministry, that, as Todd was just talking about, full-time staff here, some coming on staff here, like Hannah now, is having to raise money. They need support. So that's what that is. Let's go to this one. This is going to the Christmas story here. Let's go to the shepherds. All right, let's open up their box. What do you think their gift? Now, you know, what was the gift that they did at the Christmas story? Exactly. They shared Jesus' birth. They got the message, and they went, instead of just sitting with that gift that they got, they went into little Bethlehem. Bethlehem today is a huge city. Back then, it was just a tiny little place. And they went there to find the baby Jesus, and they spread the word. Wow, what a great, great ministry by the gift that they were given. Now, this is Joseph, not the Joseph of the Christmas story. The next one, this present here, is addressed to Joseph of the Old Testament, the son of Jacob, the guy with the coat with many colors and stuff. What do you think his gift was from God that he turned around and used? Oh, I could have used interpretation. To be honest, I didn't think of that one. That would be a great one. Business skills. The guy was fantastic, bookkeeping and stuff. So well, when his brothers sold him and he ended up in Egypt, Potiphar, who bought him, puts him in charge of all of his household. Eventually, he becomes the guy running all of Egypt. Pharaoh puts him in charge of the grain program. The guy was a business major, and he got put into that. So using skills like that, oh my gosh. Here's another one. This one's Stephen. Stephen was one of the first deacons in the New Testament church. His story is in the book of Acts. So, what were the deacons? What was their gift? Helping out people, yes, serving, helping others. I think a lot of people have this gift and they don't use it. I think we just sometimes just sit on our backside, you know? Which is sad. I think God has given a lot of us that type of a gift to help out in the littlest ways even. Not just major programs, little minor things. What I'm trying to do is to get you to see, wow, do I have this gift? Could I use this some way? There's another one here. This is Nehemiah. This one's pretty easy. What do you think his gift was? A what? A leader? Well, he was a leader. Construction, yeah. Organizing construction, building projects. That's what he did. He was a wine taster beforehand. How he got from that to being a construction manager, I'm not sure, but he was promoted by God. But that was his job beforehand. I don't know if you all know this. Do you know that there's been an archaeological carving found in present-day Iraq that actually shows... it's an outline carved in stone. It was a wall that it is believed it's showing the wine bearer and a name, and it appears to be Nehemiah's name. Isn't that fascinating? But yeah, he had building skills. Thus, he did this. My dad had building skills. My dad worked most of his life in a factory. But my dad also helped, because of his building skills, he helped build a number of churches. Even churches we didn't attend. He'd see a church starting to be built. He would go over, not even sometimes our denomination, didn't matter. He saw a church being built. He had the skill. He would go over. He'd work a whole day at a factory job. He'd come home, eat a quick dinner, and he'd go over and help them do that because he had that type of skill. I have one more box here. This one is not addressed to a Bible character. This one is you. I don't know what's on it. Maybe you don't know what's on it. That's what we're talking about here. Can you figure it out? Can you find out what your gift is? So important to do this. Every Christian has at least, according to Scripture, as the passages I showed you, at least one spiritual gift from God. We also, many of us, have gifts and talents that are not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gift is something you get from God once you are saved. Some people are just talented, that God has given them talent and skills at certain things. You can still use those also. Your challenge is to find out what it is and then to use it for Him. That's the whole purpose of this. And God's gift to you, now listen carefully, the gift that God gives you is to be used as your now gift to Him. We just had the Christmas season with gifts. What gift are you giving God? See, this isn't just for adults. This isn't just for college and high school. This goes down to little kids too. Now, don't end up not having to stand before God, never using the gift. Let me tell you a true story of what happened one time. Story time. People like story times. This is true. 39 years ago, Denise and I got married. And in my wedding party, one of the guys who stood up in my wedding was one of my closest friends, a guy I roomed with in college my senior year. His name was Noel. And Noel, like I say, stood up in a wedding. And as people do in weddings, you buy a wedding gift, right? And you buy a wedding gift that you want the person to use and stuff like this. Well, Noel knew I had studied cooking for a period of time, and I love to cook. I absolutely love to cook. That's why it seems like so many Nature Center classes deal with food. I love to cook, and my wife won't let me cook at home. So, because I'm expensive cooking. You'll understand why by this story. So Noel wanted to buy me something really special. As a wedding gift, he bought me black truffles. Now, for those of you who are confused and think this is chocolate, this is not chocolate. Black truffles are little round, like mushrooms. They're little funguses, about size like that. And they grow in certain places in the world, about 6 feet deep, many places, the most prized, 6 feet deep, underground, where highly trained pigs are used to dig them out of the ground. I am not making this up. They let the pigs go walking around the field. The pigs start finding. They smell them, even 6 feet deep, and the pigs start just digging. And then, as they get about the right depth, the men have to try and pull the pigs out of the holes before the pigs will get down there and eat them, because the pigs will eat them. So then they jump in the hole. They scatter around the dirt until they find the little truffles, and then they ship them off. Truffles, really prized black truffles, can easily, for one, go, even today, easily $100, $200. They're very, very expensive. Noel got me black truffles. Well, I was so excited to get these. But any of that type of thing we're going to have at home, well, just put it this way. They don't go good with Hamburger Helper. You know, you just don't slice them really thin and place them on Hamburger Helper. You just don't do that. And so I didn't use them. And so about 10 years later, I get a phone call. It was at Christmas time. Might have been Christmas Day. I got a phone call. I can't remember if I called him or I think he called me. Anyway, we connected. And we had not talked to each other in 10 years because I moved to the Bahamas. I was living in the Bahamas during all this time. But we connected. And we got talking, reminiscing about things as old friends would do, not seeing each other for a decade. And then it came up about the truffles. And he asked me, so what did you ever do with those truffles? What did you put? I've always been curious. What did you cook? And because he knew what recipes I was trained to do. I studied Northern European cooking. So he says, I know you have all sorts of, so what did you use them for? And I was embarrassed to say, well, I've never used them. I still have them. He was very hurt. Very hurt. I was extremely embarrassed. I had these, believe it or not, I still have them. They're in my desk over in the little trailer. When I moved from the Nature Center office to over here, I found them. I still have them. I tried to tell them that I kept them at school because I would use them in the fungus unit to show people what, but it didn't help. And he was extremely upset with me, which he had a right to do, because I didn't use the gift that he bought. I mean, he gave me this to use to give me pleasure and stuff, and I wasted it. You're wondering, well, you're going to do something with them. My wife, the other night, was sitting in here listening, and I got home. She says, do you think we could pull them out and still use them? I said, hon, they're 39 years old. They're pretty dried out. But anyway, now some of you kids might be thinking, well, Michael, I'm just a kid. I can't be used by God. Oh, yes, you can. My dad was like, he didn't get paid for it, but he was like what today we would call an associate pastor at the church we attended. He would go to church. He was in charge of Sunday school, VBS, and a lot of other things at the church. He would always go to church very early in the morning. I would go with him. He would always have me come along with him. And once I got there, I had a job to do. I was to go to each one of the classrooms, make sure all the chairs are set up, that there was chalk on the chalkboard for all the classrooms, that everything was set, that nothing was out of place. I would pass out things and stuff. So he had, you know, I was doing a job like that. Also, the church didn't have a janitor. Families in the church, and mostly our family, there was like two or three families, we cleaned the church. Almost every Saturday or every other Saturday, my family went to church and we cleaned the church. Now, this is a big building, and it easily seated 500 people. Oak pews. My job when we got there was to get a can of Pledge and a dust rag and just start spraying and wiping. And if I finished that before everybody else had their jobs, then I would take the broom and start sweeping the floor. But I was a kid. And also, Jeremiah, David, Samuel, all kids. You're not too young to be used by God. You're not too old. Moses was 80 when God chose him. I gave you a coin last night. Here's a picture of your coin. Commonly, today we call it a widow's mite. It was never called that in those days. It's just how they translated it into English. The actual name for it was a lepton, or plural, lepta. They were the least valuable coins at the time of Jesus. They were worth practically nothing. At the time of Jesus, one lepton was the equivalent of working 6 minutes in a day. So in other words, we're just talking pennies. They were just a couple of pennies worth. That's all they were. They're made of bronze. If you've examined yours, you've probably noticed these markings. This is actually an anchor. And the king here, this is the king, Joannes, he was one of the Maccabean kings. That's the name that appears on the side. This one was cast on his reign. And they made tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of these things. They aren't worth much at the time of Jesus, as I said. But that's what you have on this side. You turn it over. This is supposed to be a star, and these are rays of starlight going out. They're practically worthless. Yet, they're featured in two books, the book of Mark and the book of Luke, with Jesus telling a story. Just let me wrap this up real quick here with this story and show you why I gave you this and what I want you to do with it. In Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, just setting the scene, Jesus is at the temple with his disciples. He's been teaching about how the scribes, the religious leaders, have been taking advantage of the widows, the dirty things. I mean, they were robbing widows. Widows were being treated very terribly, where in God's law, widows were supposed to be taken care of. No, they were robbing them and stealing from them all the time. So, as that is what Jesus just got done talking, we come to this part. And it says, as Jesus sat facing the temple offering box, he watched how much money people put into it. Many rich people put in large amounts. A poor widow dropped in two small coins, lepta, worth less than a cent. He called his disciples and said to them, I guarantee this truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others. All they have given is what they could spare. But she, in her poverty, has given everything she had to live on. What I want you to take away from this is this widow still had something, and she gave it to God. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole theological thing here. Does this mean we're supposed to give all of our money to God? Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go and do likewise as the story continues. That's not the message, though I've heard that preached. What I want you to do, though, is I want you to take those coins, and I want you to think about the widow's sacrifice, finding a gift, something she, that was the only thing she had, and she still used it for God. Take the coin, put it someplace special. Think about what we've talked about tonight, what you've listened about the gifts. That's what I want you to do. Put it there and think, how can I use what God has given me for Him? No matter who you are, if you're a Christian, you have at least one spiritual gift given to you from God. Find it, use it. 1 Timothy 4:14 again, don't neglect. Don't do the truffle thing like I did with your gift. Mm-mm. Also, remember, in everything you do, you're working for God. Colossians 3:17, 3:23. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And Colossians 3:23, almost the exact same thing. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Homework assignments, projects you have to do at work, whatever. You don't do it for your boss. You do it for Jesus. Jesus is your boss. Always work for Him. Your gift from God is to be turned around and now to be your gift to Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had, for this message, and we just pray that you will help us to see that it's not having to do with age, Lord, but you have given us gifts. If we are truly born again, we have at least one gift. Many people in here have multiple gifts. Help us to find a way, Lord, to use those for other people, to use those in your church. And if we don't know what it is, Lord, help these people to find someone to help guide them at their church, their pastor, their elders, their church leaders, somebody to help them. Maybe even something to talk about tonight as they go to bed, to talk about what even the little kids can do for God. We thank you for these gifts you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.